paid 260 euros for a pair of Crocs, man. Those shoes pretty much broke my foot.
It's only going downhill from here.
What up, guys? This is Josh.
And this is Fobs. And this is the Kickback Pod.
And we are back with yet another episode of the Kickback Pod. And if I'm not mistaken, this is episode 13, lucky number 13.
Yes, it is, I think.
Yes, yes, it is. We're keeping track. And this is definitely a big one. We're going to be actually talking about our top sneakers of the year so far. We are at approximately the halfway point. We're in July now. A lot of sneakers. There's way more sneakers coming out nowadays than ever before. So there's probably like a year's worth of sneakers that came out just in the first half this year. But we narrowed it down to five each. And we're going to talk about that in this episode. I'm here with my man Fobs. How you doing, man?
I'm good. I'm feeling really good, actually. Like I haven't been this hyped for an episode in a while. It took me a while to narrow my choices down to five, so I'm excited to share them later. But actually, what I want to talk about before we get going is I'm feeling good, man. I've had 3 days of workouts in a row this week. I know you've been hitting the gym.
Uh-huh.
How's your bulking season going?
Bulking season is going very well. So since I started the program, well, I guess since I started going back to the gym, since COVID, you know, kind of went away and the gym's open again, I've already put on 3.5 kilos.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, and that's not like in my belly, like that's like in my body, you know, like I can feel like my arms look a little bigger, my legs look a little bigger. So I've put on 3.5 kilos. Major shout out to everyone who messaged me on Instagram. I had a few weeks ago asked you guys, give me some like quick snacks I can eat, you know, to like kind of just give myself extra calories. And like, I got some like amazing tips from them. I bought a few of those products and they've kind of been helping me out a lot. So
like protein bars or like what kind of stuff?
Yeah. Well, there's a secret I've never heard of, man. In Germany, there's something called energy cakes. Uh-huh. I've never heard of this. There's like this, it's just German brand that makes it. And it's like this delicious, you can get like a pack of 24 from Amazon and they come in 24 different flavors, okay, right? In one box. And Damn. They're just like these like oatmeal bars that have like protein, and just like one bar is like 500 calories.
Damn. That's like a whole meal in one.
That's bar. A whole meal in like a bar. So I eat like one of those, you know, before like a few hours before hitting the gym, get that extra energy. So yeah, bulking season's going well, man. But you said you've been hitting the gym 3 days in a row. That's crazy.
Well, I mean, so I've been doing this thing where I'm like, it's called Beat 81, and you sign up and you can do an outdoor HIIT workout with like a trainer, and they give you like a heart monitor and they track like how hard you're working. And then you can like see yourself on the screen and like how high or like what percentage of your maximum heart rate you've reached. And it's really like, for someone like me, like I can't motivate myself to go to the gym. So like I need to work out with people, and this like group setting, and like the fact that you can push yourself. And if you drop too low, the trainer's like, come on, Fabian, like get it up is really good for me. So like I've been doing a lot of like HIIT and a lot of home workouts, because I, as long as the weather is this good, like I don't really want to be inside in a gym. I'll probably, you know, move back into gym mode once fall and winter rolls around. But yeah, I'm glad we're both feeling very healthy and strong. You know, that's the most important thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a pretty intense intense like training method. Like how do you find this group?
It's a company called Beat 81, and you literally just, you sign up and you get 3 free workouts, and then you can buy workouts for like, I don't know, like 10 workouts cost like 100 euros or something like that. And then, but like if you have Urban Sports Club or like another, you know, like Gym Pass or something like that, then you can sign up for Beat 81 as well.
This is sounding like such a Beat 81 commercial, but no, we're not sponsored by them at all. But
maybe we'll be sponsored by them one day. You know, you never know. But
maybe. But yeah, good to hear that you're also, you know, on your own fitness journey. Yeah, man. Like it feels good to be back in the gym.
Definitely, but, man.
You know what though? Like I know they've been kind of relaxing a lot of COVID rules. So I've just gotten back from Italy. And I realized while traveling that these COVID rules, like between the countries, like there's a lot of rules. Like it took me, like I had to read through like four different pages on like the Germany website to know like what I needed, you know, before entering Germany. Same with entering Italy. It's super confusing. And it's all for nothing, at least based on my experience. Like literally nobody on my trip to Italy, like not even one person checked whether or not I got a vaccine or whether or not I even got a negative test. Like I spent all this money. I spent like 70 euros, me and my girlfriend each, to get this test. We get on the plane, no questions asked. we land, and there's this one old Italian dude who was like kind of pretending to look at people's tests. Like he was literally kind of like glancing at it, like, yeah, okay, like just kind of passing people through. Like my girlfriend didn't even like show him the test. Like she was showing him like the wrong page by accident, and like he was like, oh, good, let's go.
Like it's funny because it used to be like last year when I flew to Italy, they were one of the strictest. Like they, you know, they check you before you get on the plane, they check you on the plane, they check you after the plane,
yeah,
after you get off the plane.
When I came back to Germany too, that coming back to Germany was even like less strict. Like not even one person at the German airport checked anything.
So yeah, I mean, I think they like you have to sign up online, right? And then like you basically just tell them whether you've either tested yourself or vaccinated, and then if you're not, then you have to go to quarantine. And I guess they can't like, there's so many people traveling again. I think there's no way that they can like follow every single person. So
yeah, right. Now the airport was busier than I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I guess they're doing it on like a trust basis or whatever, but I guess it's also nice that it's a little bit easier to travel, even though you have to like prepare, but like, I guess it's worth it if you can then travel, you know, safely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I guess so. Right. Like if everyone's getting a test, at least you feel safe getting on the plane, right? So okay, so in this episode, right, I know we've been kind of on a tangent so far, but we're gonna talk about our latest pickups. We're then gonna get into our top five sneakers. We're gonna end it off with, as usual, the best upcoming drops in the next 2 weeks. We will skip the sneaker news this time, although there's quite a bit of news, but we just don't have too much time in this episode to go over that. So yeah, let's just kick it off, man. Let's talk about our latest pickups. Should I go first?
Yeah, you go first. I'm interested to see what you got.
So I got a couple of sneakers. So one of them is actually a pair of dunks. It's the Nike and Undefeated pair of dunks. Oh. So this was the Undefeated collab that, in my opinion, went very under the radar. Not a lot of people talked about this pair. I didn't even see any pictures of it on Instagram. Not too many of the publications like Hypebeast, Heist in the Body, like none of them really even.
We covered it.
Did you guys cover it?
Yeah, we posted on it. Like we posted on Instagram several times. It's a cool story. I like the story behind it, but you can.
Yeah,
you can
talk about it. I love the whole aspect of it. Like Undefeated has so many collabs with Nike now that their inspiration for new collabs is actually coming from old Nike collabs with Undefeated. So this pair right here, this dunk was inspired by an Undefeated and Nike collab on the Air Force One from 2006. It's pretty much the exact same colorway. Instead, they took it from an Air Force One, put it on a dunk. And alongside this pair of dunks came a pair of Air Force Ones that was inspired by a pair of dunks from 2003. So basically what they did was they took the dunk colorway, put it on the Air Force One, and they took the Air Force One colorway and put it on this dunk. I know it sounds a bit confusing, but the name of this, I guess this release is called the Dunk versus AF1. So does the colorway look better on the dunk or the AF1? Basically, that's the whole premise of this collab. And I thought it was really cool. I love this colorway, this OG colorway of this collab. There's actually going to be two more colorways coming up from Undefeated and Nike this year. But I think this colorway is the best. It's got like hits of brown and the swoosh is done in yellow. In my opinion, it's like a very Travis Scott kind of look to it, like a Travis Scott colorway.
Yeah.
And I think like also amazing materials used on the shoe. I think actually, in a year that we've seen so many dunks dropping, I think this is one of the best dunks to come out this year. Dope colorway and super materials. So very happy to actually get this pair for retail.
I think if that came out like a year and a half ago when the dunk hype was like super high,
yeah,
it would be, you know, rated way higher than it is now. Like you said, it's like a little bit underrated, but that doesn't make it a bad collab. Like the colorway is on point. It looks like the shape and the materials are very nice as well. So
yeah,
I guess it just maybe, I don't even want to say came out too late, right? Because the fact that it came out now means that people who actually wanted it can maybe appreciate it more than if it came out during like the height of the hype. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a timing thing, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agreed. The Dunk hype is kind of, you know, dying out a little bit. So that explains why even the resale prices of the shoe are not very high. They're going for about $200, $250 right now, which is pretty low for like a very hyped collab or supposedly hyped collab. So yeah, so that was my first pickup. My second pickup was, wait, what was it, man? I wrote it down. you can go first.
Well, I love that our pickups are so different. You know, you've got like more like the Dunks kind of, you know, like Air Force Ones, like very classic silhouettes. I actually have three pickups this week, which is,
wow, that's a record for you.
It's a record for me, but it's also because I moved on a couple pairs and made space for new ones because I don't have any space anymore. So I don't want to like keep getting new stuff and not getting rid of the old, but one pair I've already worn. It's the Hoka 1-1 or Hoka One One Clifton 8, which is one of the lightest running shoes I've ever worn. It's incredible. It's so comfortable. It's got a fat midsole. Super, super nice colorway as well. The blue with the red and the white. So this is the first one that I got. Then
It looks like you really used that pair quite a lot.
Yeah, I've literally had it for maybe a week and I've worn it almost every day, you know, and you know, done sport in it, like worked out in it and stuff like that. Then I got a pair of ASICS Gel Kayano 14s.
Those are sexy.
So they're like this nice gold, silver, white colorway, and they have gel in the heel, which is really, really nice. And honestly, I know that, you know, people talk about Boost, people talk about Air, people talk about Hoka, people talk about whatever. ASICS gel is one of the most comfortable technologies around, and these shoes are so comfortable. It's incredible. Like they're probably a sleeper pick for most comfortable shoe right now in existence. In my opinion.
Did you say that was a collab?
No. This is just a general release shoe.
Dude, like that colorway definitely looks like a collab. Like it's such a crazy looking colorway.
Yeah, it's very 2000s. It's got like that kind of metallic silver, metallic gold on top of the big hole white mesh. Very, yeah. Very 2000s. And then like the outsole looks really cool as well. So these are really, really nice. And then this one is also kind of different. It is the Fresh Rags Saucony Grid Web Manatee. So it's actually inspired by manatees, which are on the insole here. So about the shoe, Fresh Rags is a Florida-based retailer. They collaborated with Saucony on the Grid Web, which is a 2000s runner. Again, a lot of metallics used here, a lot of blue, a lot of green, a lot of silver, because again, it's inspired by the manatee and Florida wildlife in general. It's got these really cool, like nice green stripes on the heel, which I like. And then like a really nice kind of sole as well, like a shiny blue sole unit. Yeah, those are my three very like 2000s runner, but all also very different in their own way.
Yeah, I like that Saucony pair. I like how far they took it with the collab, with the whole mm-hmm. manatee inspiration on the, you have it on the sole and also the insole, the actual pictures of manatees in there. Like I thought pretty cool pickup for sure. And my second pickup, yeah, I randomly just forgot what it was, but it was the it was actually the Bodega 990 V3. Yeah. So I picked that up. There was a European release on the New Balance website. That's how I was able to get them. And yeah, it's one of those shoes that either you think it's like a super boring colorway or you really appreciate it. You know, like it is like a very... the colorway almost looks like a GR New Balance, you know, it's just like a brown with, you know, a bit of gray in there, a bit of white. It doesn't really stand out too much. However, the quality is amazing. The quality is like actually amazing, amazing, like really nice suede. And it's just the type of shoe that, you know, you'll get a lot of use out of. And you can also wear it like no matter what the season. It's a colorway that translates well into the fall, winter. And we talked about it, you know, on the New Balance pod a few pods ago. Yeah, we did. We both agreed that the 990 V3 was our favorite 99 model. And this year we've been seeing a lot of 990 V3s. We saw the Kith pair. We saw upcoming Joe Fresh collab, which is crazy looking. And then we also have this Bodega one, which I'm probably going to say is the best out of the three, just because it's a pretty wearable shoe. It's the resale prices are not too high, pretty affordable. I like this pair a lot. I'm a huge fan of the 990 V3s, and Bodega killed it. It was actually a pair to I guess commemorate the 15 years of existence of Bodega, their 15 year anniversary. So great pair, great execution by Bodega on this one.
Yeah, super nice. I tried to cop it, but I was on their website, and I think the website was experiencing issues right initially.
New Balance
on Bodega.
On Bodega, right? Yeah. I failed to cop on there as well.
And I was at dinner with my girlfriend and friends of hers, and I felt really rude. I was like in the bathroom, like trying to cop, because I didn't want to like use my phone at the table. And then I was like, fuck, like I've been here for like 2-3 minutes already. Like I can't stay here any longer. So like I went out to the table and I kind of like had the phone in my hand, like it's like looking at it. And I was like, forget it. Like I'm not going to cop, because I didn't want to be rude and sit there and then be like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I'm trying to buy a pair of shoes whilst we're having dinner, you know, like it just felt weird. So like, that's why I didn't get those. And then I like totally missed the wider release at other retailers. I think it was like a week or two later or something like that. A little disappointed, but I would say I prefer the Joe Fresh Goods ones. So I think those are coming up in July at some point. So I really want to get those. So I'm going to try for those.
That is such a sneakerhead story, man, that I'm sure a lot of people can relate with. Trying to escape a social situation so you can go and cop shoes like that. I've done that before. I've actually done it at work, you know, like I was in a meeting and like it was drop time was at 10 and like I'm literally in the meeting trying to cop sneakers on my phone. Boss is looking at me. She had a talk with me after that. I made up some excuse. Oh, like my mom sent me like an emergency message.
my mom needed sneakers really badly. And I had to get them for her.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we can all relate to that story for sure. But this pod, we're going to obviously, let's get into the top sneakers of the year. Crazy year so far for sneakers. It was, even for me, very difficult to narrow it down to five, because there were very, very strong contenders this year. I feel like I don't think there's a runaway number one for me this year. Like last year, for example, what was the sneaker of the year last year? The Sakais. For me on 2019, it was quite easy to pick the sneaker of the year. For me, it was the Sakais. In 2020, for me, it was also very easy. For me, it was the Jordan 5 Off-White. This year, I feel like there's so many contenders for that sneaker of the year. So it was quite difficult to narrow it down to five. So the way we're going to kind of do it on this pod is we're each going to kind of go through our five one by one, and we'll count it down from five to one. Before we do that, we both did ask you guys over on Instagram, on our own Instagrams, what was your top sneaker of the year? And a lot of you guys kind of gave these similar responses. So we wanted to quickly shout these ones out, these sneakers, their honorable mentions. They didn't make our top five, but they definitely were the number one sneaker of the year for a lot of you guys. So we just wanted to quickly mention them. The first one I have on this list, the Salehe Bembury Water Be the Guide. Definitely a super pair of sneakers. I actually don't know if these sneakers made it to your top five. I'm just kind of listing them. No, they didn't.
But somebody messaged me about those as well, and I agree that they're up there for sure. And if we did like maybe like a top 10 each or a top 20, they would have made the list, but both of us picked our top five, so it makes it really kind of tight and hard to get something in there.
Yeah, I agree with you. If it was a top 10 list, the Salehis are making it for me. Amazing shoe. Also, the Jordan 185 Neutral Grays. A lot of people, I had like over 10 people messaged me the 85 neutral grays.
The highs and the lows, right? I think both are very like worth a mention.
No, I think that, yeah. Well, both of them are worth a mention. There is a very specific reason why I took this sneaker off my list. I thought for sure it would be on my top five, but it didn't make the top five for me just because the materials, man, the materials of the Jordan 1, the high top, just extremely uncomfortable. Some of the toughest leather I've ever seen on a shoe, that it has no give whatsoever. And my feet hurt a lot whenever I wear that sneaker. So I couldn't possibly put it in my top five just because like my feet absolutely hate that sneaker. But it's a beautiful looking shoe, but yeah, not good enough for the top five for me. Did it make your top five?
Nope.
Okay. No. Then we also have the Trophy Room Jordan 1s. And the reason why I didn't include this sneaker in my top five was, well, first of all, I'm not a huge fan of the shoe, the looks itself. Like it's a shiny looking Chicago with the icy outsole. I just thought it was a bit much, like it's a bit loud, and I personally don't like shoes that are like super shiny like that. So yeah, just from a visual point of view, I didn't really like it. But also I just feel like this shoe, it's a lot more famous. It's a lot more notable for like its release, the way it got released, rather than the shoe itself. Like I feel like with this sneaker, people remember it because of what happened during the release with all those pairs getting backdoored to all those people. And that's what people remember the most about the sneaker. And not many people, I feel, remember the sneaker itself, because it seems like barely anyone got it.
Yeah. So, and I think, yeah, I mean, it definitely was kind of marred by the whole backdooring incident and, you know, Benjamin Kicks posting and posing with like 100 pairs or whatever. Which, speaking of, we should plug our own podcast there. If you want to listen to the entire story and our reactions to it, mm-hmm. check out one of our earlier episodes where we, you know, deep dive into the whole backdooring incident.
I think that was our second episode, and yeah, definitely must listen. You guys go back on Spotify, listen to episode 2 for the whole recap of that story. But yeah, so that's why I didn't make my top five. I felt like it's much more of a story rather than a shoe. And the last one, and this is the shoe that I got by far the most amount of people saying that this was their shoe of the year. That is the Ama Manier Jordan 3s. It might have, did it make your list? It made your list. I know it did. I have a feeling it made your list. But yeah, this shoe, the Ama Manier, I actually have this shoe. So it's in my house right now. Like I have the shoe. Shout out to Goat. They sent me over this pair. But yeah, the Ama Maniers, see, like this shoe, I personally don't get the hype, man. I just don't get it. Like it's very plain looking for me. It looks like, just for me, it just kind of looks like any other pair of Jordan 3s. I know the materials are nice. Like I like the inner lining. And of course, the story behind it, great. Like female empowerment, definitely a great story. But I just don't get where the shoe of the year is coming from. Like it's not that special looking of a shoe for me. I feel like it's a little plain compared to some of the other sneakers on this list. But I know that I am definitely in the minority when it comes to my opinion on the shoe, because a lot of people, I listen to the O Schuhen podcast. Shout out to O Schuhen, by the way, like a German sneaker podcast. And I think Ama, who's one of the hosts of that show, he had the Ama Maniers.
He really likes them. Yeah.
I think he called it his sneaker of the year as well. But not for me, not for me. Like, what do you think? Should it have been in my top five?
I mean, it's in my top five, so I'll reserve my my judgment for when we go through. But I would say I disagree with you.
Okay. And do you also have any honorable mentions?
Yeah, I mean, so I actually think there might be one or two that are on your list. So I'll rattle them off quickly so that we can jump into ours. But so, the New Balance 2002 are the Rat Pack. I call it the Rat Pack because it looks like it was eaten by rats. But the ones that
I think they're officially called the Protection Pack.
Yeah, the Protection Pack, which is such a weird name. But a lot of people message me about those, or not a lot, but a couple of people. And I know that they're pretty hyped right now. So I would say those are an honorable mention. Then the ready-made Nike Blazer is an honorable mention, but I think that might be in your list. And then also the Nike Air Jordan 4 Top Haze is another honorable mention for me, at least. I really struggled with this one. I wanted to put it into my top five, and a couple of people messaged me about it as well, because I think it's such a great general release shoe. And I think that there's not enough of those great GR colorways. So yeah, those were like the ones that kind of popped up most for me when I was like talking to people on Instagram.
I completely agree with the Top Haze. For me, it was much more of a personal honorable mention. I actually managed to cop those shoes recently, and they look amazing even in real life. So yeah, I love that colorway. And like you said, not too many really, really dope general release sneakers that we're seeing these days. It's mainly just collab after collab, you know, but a really dope colorway of the Jordan 4. We both love 4s. Yeah. And that's, for me at least, it's the best 4 colorway we've seen this year.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's been some good ones. I mean, if you're including collaborations as well with Union and the like.
But okay.
I mean, some of those colorways are good, some aren't. But yeah. I think the UNC ones were nice. So I think in terms of just like a Jordan shoe that doesn't come out a lot, there are a high number of good quality colorways, I think.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so let's get into the list then, man. Starting off, should you go first? Me first?
Yeah. So I'll start, and we'll start with 5. So okay. For this one, I another unexpected one, but the Soland Leaning Shadow, which, if you remember, we talked about very early in the first couple episodes. I was sent a pair by Soland, and I just find them so incredible because they have that like boost, like midsole with the hole in it, right? Like the orange mm-hmm. and white shoe. And when I talked about those in the episode, a couple of people messaged me afterwards and they were like, yo, like I Googled them and you convinced me, man, these are so dope. And it was just cool to see that like people felt the same way after seeing the shoe. And I really appreciate the fact that, you know, A, they have crazy cushioning with that hole in the midsole, which, you know, is one of my favorite things. That's why I like Nike Shox. That's why I like, you know, Adidas Micro Bounce. Anything that's crazy cushioning and like has crazy tech, I really like. And, you know, it's something different. Like Soland has had very, very strong collaborations with Nike in the past, but now they've teamed up with Li Ning, who is known for just going all out with their design and, you know, sometimes even just disregarding functionality for aesthetic. And yeah, for me, that's probably a safe bet for top 5, probably resting on the 5th place.
Yeah, you even put me onto that pair. I feel like you put a lot of people onto that Soland pair. Yeah, I think it looks dope. And from what I remember, you said like comfort wise, it's one of the most comfortable shoes you've ever worn.
I mean, it's very similar material to Boost, you know. And I think that after Boost was developed, a lot of companies made their own version of it, right? Like I know Puma has a very similar version. I know Saucony does, and obviously Li Ning does as well. But yeah, it's unbelievably soft. Like you feel like you're walking on clouds with clouds on your feet, you know. If I can put it that way, it's just next level.
Yeah, that's a solid number 5. So I'll get into my number 5. So it's a bit of a controversial one, I guess, but ooh. I got the Yeezy Foamrunner Sand colorway coming in at number 5.
I knew you would have that in your top 5. I knew.
Yeah, because you know what? Like we saw the original colorway of the Foamrunners come out last year, and we saw the reaction, you know, everyone shitting on it, calling it the Yeezy Croc, calling it some kind of sick joke, you know, Kanye playing games again. But what are we seeing this year? Now suddenly everyone is wearing it. Like, in my opinion, you could even call it the shoe of the summer, because I've seen so many people wearing these shoes now. It went from a laughing stock to now being maybe the most coveted Yeezy. And you can see that in the resale prices too. Pretty much every other Yeezy that releases that's not a Foamrunner or a pair of slides, they've been selling for even below retail in some cases, pretty much no resale on them. Meanwhile, the foams, huge demand on this pair. Even though we've seen a lot more stock release in some of the newer colorways, they're still selling for 2-3 times the retail, which tells you how much people want this shoe. Yeah. And besides just the fact that people want them, the shoe itself, like, I feel is just so good. Like, there's a reason why I've been wearing it literally every day for the last 3 months. I will be dropping a video, by the way, guys, on my channel, my updated 3 month review of the Yeezy foams, just giving you guys some info on what it feels like after wearing it for 3 months. So I love this shoe. It's like a super comfortable pair. It's also very durable and it just looks crazy. Like, the shoe gets so much attention. Like, everyone's always staring at my feet anytime I wear them. And the reason why I put the sand colorway at number five is the most wearable, I feel, out of all the pairs, and the one that I feel most people are gravitating towards, most people want. So there's no way I could ignore the foam runners on this list, just because it's probably made the biggest impact for Yeezy brand so far this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I was very close to putting it onto my list as well, but I disqualified it just because, like, yes, the new colorways dropped this year, but for me, it's more of a 2020 shoe. Which, you know, you can say the same about, like, you know, like a New Balance 990 V3 that drops this year. Like, you know, it's not really like a new shoe. It's just a new colorway or a new collab. So I totally understand why you put it on your list. And I was very, very close to doing the same. And to everything you said, like, I completely agree. You know, reaction totally switched when it came out. People want it. Resale price shows that people want it. It's super comfortable from what I've heard. It looks great with socks, without socks. It's a conversation starter. You know, you're walking down the street and people will be like, yo, like, what are those? You know, people that don't know what sneakers are, and they'll, like, genuinely be interested. And I think that's kind of one of the core things about being a sneakerhead, right? You want to talk to other people about it. You kind of like it when people notice your shoes, even, you know, whether it's positive or negative, if you're confident, you don't care. You just like people noticing them. And if there's one shoe that will get you noticed, it's the Yeezy
foam. Yeah, I've never had another pair of sneakers that have gotten as much attention as the foam runners. So yeah, definitely one of my favorite personal sneakers for sure.
Nice. So then moving on to number four, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, but I have the OMC Adidas Type 9. Which is the micro bounce version that OMC put together. So it's got this, like, if you know what Nike Shocks look like, it's got the similar kind of midsole that has these little pods, and it came in like three really nice earthy colorways. So again, this is the OAMC Adidas Originals Type 9. It dropped, I think, in June, I believe, maybe late May. And I'm a sucker for crazy midsoles. I'm a sucker for crazy technology. And I love that OAMC took this sportswear sneaker from the mid 2000s and just gave it this really nice elevated look, put some nice leather on it, you know, used some really high quality suede on the uppers, and played with the silhouette a little bit, played with the shape of the shoe whilst leaving the, you know, the midsole tooling, in its, like, original form. So yeah, this for me was one of the best shoes, one of the most underrated shoes too, because a lot of these collaborations don't really sell out or don't get a lot of hype, and people don't really talk about them a lot on Instagram or on publications. And which for me is almost like more of a reason to like them, because they're something that not everyone has or not everyone likes, which is cool for me.
These definitely give me some major Nike Shocks vibes.
Yeah,
it's like an Adidas version of a Nike Shocks, I guess.
So actually, the Nike Shocks came out in early 2000s, and these came out soon after. And if I am remembering this correctly, somebody at Adidas told me that they had to pull these off the shelves because of a lawsuit. Like, Nike sued Adidas and was like, these are too similar. And so they pulled them off the shelves in, like, again, this is, you know, what I've been told, that they were pulled off the shelves because, you know, they, like, accepted or said, like, yeah, fuck it, we'll just pull them off the shelves instead of going to court, whatever. And now they're starting to bring them back a little bit, which is cool, because Nike also brought the Shocks back like a couple years ago. So yeah, a little fun fact there that actually Nike sued Adidas because of these.
That's pretty interesting. And I'm surprised I haven't seen more people wearing these, because the Shox are probably one of the most popular shoes in Berlin. I just see so many people wearing them.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen a lot of people wearing these Adidas pairs, but these look super dope. Yeah. And another one that I feel like you're going to put a lot of people onto. So if you guys didn't get that already, it's the OAMC Adidas Type 9. Check it out. If you're into Nike Shox, like these are definitely pretty dope.
Yeah. What about you? What's your number four?
Number four. So yeah, this one, like, I had to kind of figure out the order a little bit. Like, I didn't know whether to put this at four or three or two, but it doesn't matter anyway. So it is the year of the dunk. You know, we've been seeing a lot of Nike dunks, a very strong year for Nike SB in particular. So I had to put an SB on here. The SB that could have gone here could have been the What the Pauls. So the Paul Rodriguez SB dunks, it could have gone here easily as the number four shoe on my list. But I personally feel, my opinion, of course, the best Nike SB that has released this year is the Carpet Company SB Nike Dunk High. So this was, I don't know if you've seen it, but it's basically like this bluish kind of upper, a holographic type of upper. And it has like a very DIY type of feel to it. I really, really like the whole concept. I love the story behind it. And the brand, the company that, of course, collabed on this pair, the Carpet Company, they're kind of notable for creating these one-of-one t-shirts, these one-of-one type of accessories. So they kind of have a very DIY aesthetic to their brand, and they brought that to the shoes. And the shoes themselves, the upper tears off, and underneath you can see a different colorway as well, this yellow colorway underneath. So
I love that on shoes. Like, I love when shoes are kind of, they're almost like, not, I don't want to say like customizable, but they're I guess interactive, you know, like they change, just like the Lance Mountain Air Jordan ones, right? They change color or change their look based on how much you wear them, how much you use them, which is a really cool idea.
Yeah, exactly. And that's this pair of dunks here. And I just think it's such a nice colorway too, this blue and white. I think it's a great pair of shoes, and for me, the best dunk of the year. Of course, a lot of people think the Paul Rodriguez SB dunk should be the dunk of the year. That's a worthy contender, because I feel like it's a true What the sneaker. I think they did a really good job taking all the previous Paul Rodriguez dunks, combining it into one, and it's the final product, I think, looks really, really nice. But for me, I like these Carpet Companies better. So yeah, Carpet Company SB Dunk High, my number four.
Yeah, I love how it's also kind of that little bit like leaning on the UNC colorway with the blue and white and the yellow that gets revealed underneath. Like, I'm looking at pictures on Google right now of like people who've skated in them or who've like shredded them a little bit, and they look really, really good, especially if like not the whole upper is off, but just like a little, you know, yellow thing is peeking out at the toe box or on the ankle collar or something like that.
Yeah,
really, really nice choice, actually. Like, I didn't have these on my radar at all, although like I knew about them, but solid choice.
Yep. So what do you have for number three?
So the one that you were shitting on before, the Armanier Air Jordan 3s are my third. No, I know you weren't shitting on them, but I really love them. Like, I think obviously the story behind it about, like, you know, empowering women and mothers and stuff like that is, you know, without getting too cheesy, like obviously something that a lot of people can relate to. Shout out mom. Shout out mom. Shout out all the moms out there that are listening to our podcast. Actually, on that topic, my mom, she called me the other day and she was like, oh yeah, like, I read your article, the one about the there being too many collaborations. She's like, I was like, oh, thanks. Like, you didn't really have to read that, because, you know, she's not into sneakers or whatever. And she's like, I thought you made some really good points. And like, it was a good article. It was well written. And I was like, oh man, thanks, mom. That means a lot. Like, it really does, because she's obviously not into sneakers and stuff like that. And then like for her to like search my name and like search out articles that I wrote is really sweet. So
I agree, Fabian. Way yeah, too right? many dunks from Virgil. We didn't need 50.
She's like, yeah, fuck this Virgil guy. I don't know who he is, but who's buying 50 dunks? That's unnecessary.
What the fuck does Fragment have to do with Travis Scott, Fabio?
Exactly. She's like, you know, I bumped Travis, but Fragment and Travis, no, that's too much.
What a supportive mom. Shout out Fabian's mom.
But I love the colors on this. I love that the base is left in all white, and there was like, I don't even know what to call the colors, like this like bronze pink, like rust pink kind of colorway on the Jumpman and on the quilted lining, man. That for me is just something. If something is quilted, whether it's like you got a bomber jacket that's quilted, or you got like just any piece of garment that's quilted, for me just oozes luxury and oozes like high quality. And I know that Amar Manier and James Whitner and his team put a lot of love into all of their projects. So for me, gotta be top three. Gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people agree with you, man, for sure. I think from a quality point of view, you cannot argue. Like, it's incredible, incredible quality. It would be in my top 10. But yeah, it's great pick, man. Great pick for number three.
Thanks, bro. What about you?
Number three. I got another pair of dunks. This is my favorite. This is my favorite pair of dunks this year. If you follow me on any of my socials, you know how much I love this pair, the Ambush Dunks. So I got the Ambush Dunks, specifically the blue colorway, that royal blue colorway. Yeah, such a fire pair of dunks. It's a dunk. It feels like it's from the future. The swooshes look like the Batmobile. It's such a crazy, very fashion forward type of sneaker. And besides like having an amazing colorway, and besides being like an extra loud sneaker, it's the quality of the shoe. Like, the leather on this is like some buttery, buttery, buttery leather, like the best leather I've seen on a pair of Nikes this year. So it had to be on my list. You know how much I love dunks, and I love dunk highs especially. And to see what Yoon from Ambush, what she was able to do with the dunk high, like give it a completely different look. Like, she, you know, made it a little bit taller, you know, those crazy swooshes. Not a fan of all the colorways, I'm gonna be honest. Like, that pink one, I don't know what was going on there. Also, this upcoming, we have this Volt colorway, which I'm not too hot about, but This blue one for me is by far the best colorway out of all of the four that we've seen so far. And I was very, very happy to get this pair for me. And also, a lot of you guys agreed with me. A lot of you guys messaged me that the Ambush Dunks were your sneaker of the year as well. They're definitely my dunk of the year. And overall, they land number three on my list.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good choice. Again, I love how this shows like our different tastes as well, right? Because I agree with your top three so far, right? Mm-hmm. But I agree with them wholeheartedly, but like, I didn't consider them for my list, right? And that's because we have such different tastes. And I think that's so great, because we can kind of agree, but also have different choices. And the Ambush Dunk is for me one where, you know, a lot gets said about quality, and everyone's like always like, oh shit, the quality on these Jordans, or the quality on these Nikes, or the quality on this Adidas, whatever. And most of the time it's probably just average quality, but when you look at the Ambush Dunks, you can see that that's good quality, right? Like, you can see the leather is like thick, juicy leather, you know what I mean? and like nice and moisturized leather. It's not dry, it's not cracking. I really like your three so far.
Yeah, yours as well, man. I agree. Like, we both have very different sneakers on this list, but yeah, that's what makes this a very diverse pod. It's like, you know, like if you've listened to the one that Complex does. Like, even the people on that pod, like, they have very different tastes. Like,
that's true.
The one guy, he's just like Reebok all day, and the other guy is just like these Adidas silhouettes. You know, like it's good that we have such different tastes for sure.
Yeah. So my second one, and I had to go with the New Balance this time. I tried to also keep my top five like only one of each brand in there, because I didn't want to double up. And this one was so difficult. So I'll tell you the two that didn't make it. right, for the New Balance. I had three New Balances that would have made the second spot. The Bodega New Balance 990 V3 didn't make it, and the Kith 990 V3 didn't make it. Instead, I had to go with the Pata New Balance 991 from, like, I think it came out in January or something like that. Just because for me, like, the colorway is unmatched. It's got this beautiful, like, dark brown paneling with some gray hits on the midsole. And then it's got this, like, pistachio green kind of, like, very, very subtle green-gray colorway on the mesh. And it's honestly my favorite New Balance since the Joe Freshgoods 992 last year, which was my personal pick for shoe of the year last year. I thought the color blocking on that was masterful. And it's the same with this Pata one. I think that no New Balance shoe this year comes even close to it, in my opinion. And I like how it was a 991 as well, instead of being a 992. Like, a lot of, you know, everyone's done a 992 recently, but not many people have done a 991, and for Pata to be the first collaborators this year and one of the best is just great.
It's a very, very solid pick, man. Very solid pick. I think, yeah, from the colorway of that sneaker is maybe one of the best, maybe the best colorway we've seen on a New Balance this year. Such a nice colorway. 991s too, getting some love finally. Maybe we'll see more collabs this year too. But yeah, I know you. You definitely, if I remember correctly, you own this pair, and I've seen you.
Yeah, I have it. I love it, man. I wear it sparingly because I don't want it to get too worn. But definitely one of my favorites in the rotation. Like, when it's a nice day out and I've got like a nice fit, and I know I'm like, okay, I'm going somewhere where people are going to see me, those are the shoes I'm putting on.
Oh, and are you also going to be taking that big piece of luggage with you that you had on your Instagram today?
No, not everywhere. It's a little heavy. It's like a big metal box. I unfortunately don't have as much money as Travis Scott, so I can't afford the big whatever he was. I think it was like an Hermes bag or something, or a Birkin bag.
Yeah,
something.
I think it was Louis Vuitton, wasn't it? Or
it was something crazy. It was like probably cost more than like I'll ever make in my lifetime combined. So yeah.
But it was swag, man. You looked very swag.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
So number two on my list, also New Balance. So that's coincidental.
Okay.
So I don't have one particular New Balance. Instead, I have like a model of New Balance at number two. And that is, for me, the New Balance 550. So
okay.
I have that at number two this year. I know that the original, like, Aimé Leon Doors, they came out last year, and that's when the 550 started to get a lot of hype. If I were to pick one for like pair of 550s this year, it would have to be the Aimé Leon Door, the natural green colorway.
Oh,
amazing, amazing colorway.
Like, that was the exclusive one, right?
That was the exclusive one to Aimé Leon Door. Beautiful colorway, such a nice pair of shoes. And
you know, that colorway always reminds me of sorry to interrupt, but
no worries.
Whenever I see that colorway, it always reminds me of Massimo from Soulbox. I don't know why, but it just seems like such a Massimo color, you know, like, because I think because he posts a lot of like cars and stuff in that color with like the green and like the beige cream. It's just such a Massimo colorway.
For listeners who don't know who that is, Massimo, he works over at Soulbox. You should definitely give him a follow at size 10, please. Shout out Massimo if you're listening. I think it's an amazing, amazing colorway. But I want to give a particular highlight to this model, the New Balance 550. The reason why I have it at number two on my list is because I think New Balance have finally achieved something that I don't know if they've been trying to do for all this time, but what they've done is they've created the New Balance sneaker for the casual sneaker wearer. So every other big brand has one of these. So Nike has it with the Air Force One. So like, even if you don't have sneakers, like let's say you just have like one or two pairs, like one of those is likely to be an Air Force One, you know. Yeah. Like it's like the everyday casual sneaker that everyone has. Then Adidas has that with the Stan Smiths, you know, like everyone growing up had a pair of Stan Smiths. And New Balance was always looked at as, you know, the dad brand, you know, like only dads wore this. And now with this 550, it seems like I'm starting to see a lot of people wear the sneaker that don't have sneaker collections. You know, they just like the way this model looks. There's been a lot of colorways that have released and they're all selling out, especially like the very clean ones, like the white pair, the yellow, the black pair. They've all been selling out instantly. Some of them even getting resale prices. And it's a sneaker that you can literally wear with anything. You don't have to worry about matching or anything like that. It's just an everyday pair of New Balance 550s. And it's an everyday New Balance. That's just not something we have seen, not something that we haven't seen a New Balance made for the mass market before. And although the shoe did actually come out in 1989, it's only really started to get popular now. I had to put this at number two because shout out to New Balance. They managed to create a shoe that everyone loves, not just dads. And it looks like they're just gaining more and more popularity with still a lot more colorways to come out this year. I'm sure they're going to continue with it next year. Congrats to New Balance for, you know, finally getting that huge popularity that their brand has not really seen before.
Yeah, I mean, not much to add there. I completely agree with what you've said that like it's that kind of approachable shoe, you know, like, I mean, they had like the 574s and like the 990s and so, and, you know, and those were worn by people that maybe weren't big sneakerheads, but it wasn't comparable to like the Air Force One and the Stan Smith, like you said. And, you know, it's a totally different world as well. It's a basketball shoe by New Balance from the 80s. And, they brought it back at the right time, made a huge splash and, rightfully in your top two, I think.
Yeah. A lot of colorways I want to cop this year. There's one coming that if it had released earlier this year, it would be number two on this list for me. That's the,
which one?
This Oralay, I think.
It was like that, like really beige, like tonal colorway.
Yeah. Right? Very beige, very vintage looking. It was supposed to be a Japan only exclusive, but it's going to be actually released worldwide. More on that later in the show when we talk about upcoming drops, but New Balance 550, number two on my list.
Yeah. So the number one pick on my list is, and for anyone who's been listening to the podcast over the last few months will know what this is. If you don't, I'm disappointed in you. But that being said, I told you guys just a few minutes ago that I have not doubled up on any brand in this top five. So we've already done Adidas. We've already done Nike. We've already done New Balance. We've done Li Ning. What is left? There's only a few brands left. My top pick is the Reebok Zig 3D Storm Hydro. I think it's the best shoe of the year so far. And I will be surprised if it's not top of my list at the end of the year. Like it would need like a big release for it to be knocked off my top spot. It's my personal favorite. I just love how it's so fresh. It's so futuristic and so cool. You know, like the Reebok logo, if you haven't seen it before, like I'm going to put some links into the show notes. But if you haven't seen it before, the Reebok logo is used as like a clasp closure. So basically you're opening and closing the shoe with the Reebok logo, which is just such a cool functional way to integrate the logo into the shoe. And it looks a little bit like a hovercraft as well, because you've got the Zig technology, which is like really bulky. So you've got like a bulky bottom part, but then a very sleek top part inspired by, I believe, like outdoor shelter. So like tents and kind of like outdoor makeshift shelters that kind of protect you from the wind when you're in the outdoors. And that's why the shoe kind of looks almost like a spaceship or like a tent for your feet, which I'm a very big fan of. Some really, really great colorways as well. So that is my top pick. What do you think?
Wow, what a pick. What a pick, man. A Reebok landing at number one, but definitely a worthy pick. Like you said, like if we're talking about futuristic shoes, I don't think there's been a more futuristic release this year than this pair. It looks like something out of like a Terminator movie or, you know, like one of those like crazy, like dystopian future type of movies. And specifically that Kottweiler collab to some really dope colorways there. Did you actually, you said you were going to cop a pair, right? Did you end up copying?
I did. I didn't pull the trigger in the end because I had just bought some other shoes that week, I think. But when the time is right, before the end of the year, I will definitely have one of these in my collection, just waiting for the right colorway. Like I'm waiting for like a really nice kind of like white with like some like subtle kind of accents or something like that. And then I'll strike.
Yeah, worthy number one. A very surprising, very out of left field for sure. But it is our list, man. It's our list. So this is what we think is number one. My number one also pretty much like a dark horse candidate. You won't see it on too many number ones when you see like the end of the year top sneakers of the year list. But it is my number one, and should be no surprise to most of you guys. Number one sneaker so far for me this year is the ready-made Blazers, the ready-made Blazers that you had as an honorable mention. But for me is the number one sneaker of the year. I am usually not a huge fan of the Nike Blazer, not a very comfortable shoe. And it's just like, it's a blazer. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like not exciting, but what ready-made was able to do with the shoe just really, really impressed me. The shoe looks like they took a pair of Blazers, cut it up completely, then put it back together, left some panels, you know, put some panels in the wrong places. It looks like this complete like mishmash type of shoe, kind of like DIY put it together. The swoosh, of course, has got this like skinny looking swoosh. I particularly love that black colorway the most, the black with the orange swoosh. Really, really dope pair of sneakers. And I personally feel like such an underappreciated pair. Like the resale price is really not that high right now for a sneaker of the year. Yeah, because I guess like it's not a sneaker that everyone can really pull off. It's pretty difficult to pull off like such a futuristic, crazy out there looking type of shoe. But I love it, man. I love it. I love that it made me, you know, really love a pair of Blazers so much. And really, really good job. Really, really good job to, I forget the name of the guy who is in charge of ready-made, but amazing job. And yeah, huge fan of both the colorways, but the black pair specifically is my number one pair of the year.
Yeah, I knew you were going to put that as number one because in previous episodes, you've said several times that it's your absolute favorite shoe right now. And I mean, same as what you said about some of the picks on my list. Like if I was making a top 10, it would probably be on there just because I can appreciate the design. And I actually do quite like it. Like if resale isn't too high in a few months or whatever, I might pick up a pair. Who knows? But again, you're right. I think it is a little bit harder to pull off than other shoes. I have to say you pull it off very well. Your fits kind of match it very, very well. Man, that was a solid top five times two, you know, or top five squared or whatever you want to call it. Like that was, I think that was really good.
I think so too, man. I think so too. And let us know, of course, hit us up on Instagram. Let us know what did you think of the top five. You can slide in the DMs. Really appreciate it. And shout out to all of you listeners who have sent me pictures of them listening to the pod like at work. A lot of you guys listen to us during work, so we're very happy and very grateful that you choose to pass your time by listening to our pod. So thank you guys very much. That was our top five of the year. We'll quickly end off this episode by talking about some upcoming drops as usual over the next 2 weeks. I have three on my list, starting off with the Jordan 1 in the electric orange colorway. When we first saw pictures of this shoe, people were calling this would be the shattered backboard 4.0 or the reverse shattered backboard. It's basically like a black toe version of a shattered backboard. I don't like this colorway at all. I don't like any Jordan 1 that has like a white heel. I think it looks pretty strange. This colorway, it just feels like they missed some panels. Like if they literally just colored that back panel orange instead of white, this sneaker would be so much better, like 100 times better. But they left it white for some reason. And I'm not feeling the sneaker at all, although the quality looks pretty good. But the official release date is June the 17th for this electric orange pair. I also have a couple more. I got this sneaker. It's a pair of Dunks that if it had released early in the year, it would definitely be on my list because it's my favorite Dunk low that has dropped this year. That is the FTC Dunks. So we're gonna be seeing like a dunk of a lot of dunks dropping during the Olympics that are being held in Tokyo over the next couple of weeks. And all of these dunks that have something to do with Tokyo, some Japanese kind of concept. And this FTC dunk inspired by Japanese bathhouses, also known as onsens. If you guys had seen my YouTube video from a couple of weeks ago where I talked about this sneaker, I mentioned my story about Japanese onsens, how I wasn't actually allowed into a Japanese onsen because I have tattoos and you're not allowed to enter these bathhouses if you have tattoos. It's against all of their rules. So I've never actually been to an onsen because of that, but at least I want to be able to cop this pair of sneakers. This is such a dope, dope colorway.
There's actually, so there's, for anyone going to Japan with tattoos, there's actually onsens you can go to if you have tattoos. Like I have tattoos and went to an onsen, and I think they might not be like the best onsens, or that they're not like the most traditional ones or whatever, but it was still amazing, man. Like the hot baths and like the different temperatures and stuff. It was very, very cool.
Wait, you need to tell me the name of that onsen. I'm going to Japan next year. So,
Definitely. I think I have it saved on Google Maps or something like that. It was a fun experience. I went there with Rami, a friend of mine. Shout out Rami. And it was definitely like, I mean, Japan is absolutely crazy. I love it. And the onsen was probably one of the best parts of it. So I'll let you know what it is, and then you can hit it up.
Thank you. But these FTC dunks, the colorway, amazing. The quilted kind of pattern on the shoe too. Such a nice looking pair of shoes. So yeah, that's going to be releasing in the States earlier. I believe it's going to be releasing on February 24th. That's what I see for the Europe release. And then the last sneaker, already mentioned it earlier, the 550 Oralays. So the New Balance 550 in this collab with Oralay, a Japanese brand. It's a very vintage looking, faded out 550. Very, very clean pair of shoes. Kind of has that Emilio Andor type of aesthetic. This sneaker will be releasing Japan exclusive on June the 17th, followed by a worldwide release on June the 24th. You can best believe I'm going to be trying to cop a pair of those.
Nice. Yeah, I think I had the last ones, the 550s, on my list as well. But honestly, other than that, there's not much dropping. I think there's like some Converse and Nike collaborations with Space Jam 2, which
Oh, right.
Most of it is pretty miss for me. And then I have the protection pack. I know it dropped at a lot of retailers recently and it sold out, but there is a secret, not a secret drop, but they're coming to Heist and Body Shop at some point. So
you better get me a pair, man. That's all I'm saying. I need that gray pair.
So that's an upcoming drop for us, which I'm looking forward to, because I know that, you know, like you said, like lots of people have been, you know, trying to cop them and they've been selling out everywhere. So keep your eyes peeled on Heist and Body for the protection pack, the New Balance 2002R. But other than that, like I said, there's not much out there that interests me this week. Hopefully that'll be different in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, there's a lot of releases dropping like in the last week of July that we'll cover on the next pod.
But well, yeah, the Joe Fresh Goods 990 V3s, those are coming out in July. He hasn't said when, but he said July. So I'm assuming they'll come out in the next like 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. Look out for those as well. But thank you guys for listening to the pod. I hope you enjoyed this episode where we ran through our top 5 sneakers of the year. Once again, share this pod with anyone you know who you think will enjoy sneaker content. Give us a good rating on iTunes. And yeah, man, appreciate you guys for listening. Yeah, we're signing out. We'll see you guys next time. Peace.
See you guys. Thanks for listening.